Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach discusses recruiting with us. He tells us why it's great to be a Fighting Piper, and Coach Taylor shares with us his excitement about his beloved Philadelphia Eagles being in the Super Bowl. So let's get right to TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have any team updates you'd like to provide to us?
The team is doing well. You know, back in the full swing. Classes started on Wednesday. Guys are back, so you know, we're excited about this journey. Which will be the 2018 season, about 183 days out. So you know, we just slowly but surely, day by day, just you know, trying to take steps to get better as a program. So
counting it down already. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. How's recruiting going for you at this point?
You know what? Recruiting is good. You know, that's just a process in itself. You know, that's the pipeline of all college football programs at this point in the year, especially at our level. You know, we're recruiting all over the place. I mean, we've been in about six different states physically, which is really good for Hamline football. And you know, we've secured some guys in the area, but you know, we got a lot of guys out of the area too. So we're really excited about how the 2018 class is shaping up.
I'm curious. I know that National Signing Day is coming this Wednesday. Is this become a time that becomes more hectic for you because players that thought they were going to get signed somewhere don't, and so they're more interested in looking at Division III?
Yeah, it's almost like you get caught into two cycles. You know, you have your summer recruiting, which leads you right into the season, and you know, you feel really good about some guys that have a good feel if they're Division III or they know they're not going to be a big time guy. But then what happens is after Wednesday morning, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, we'll reach back out and there's some guys that we've had on our radar that, you know, you circle back with and they didn't get that, you know, scholarship they thought they were going to get. So the second cycle really begins. So, I mean, it's an interesting world in Division III. So
what is your schedule like and what is the team schedule like at this point?
Yeah, you know, a lot of travel for me right now, going back and seeing some different recruits that we've had some good contact with from across the country. So a lot of frequent flyer miles are building up, and then for our player, and if I'm not on the road, then you know, it's in early, you know, just really working on our schemes and obviously recruiting, and then with our players, I mean, those guys are lifting 4 days a week and going to classes and trying to be the best people they can be. So you know, things are going well.
Before heading into fan questions, we'll talk about truly the most important topic of the week, which is your Philadelphia Eagles. What are your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Oh, man, I'm excited. I mean, you know, last time the Eagles made it, I can remember watching it in my room and, you know, watching them play, you know, Terrell Owens and the boys and Donovan McNabb, and he's like, you think we can pull it out, and then the Patriots come back and win it. So, you know, it's like it's a little bit of excitement when they made it this year, but it's now it's like, man, you know, we want to see these guys win it. You know, it'd be huge for the city. It'd be huge for the NFL, you know, to knock down the mighty Patriots. And the Patriots are good ball coach, good quarterback. I mean, it starts there. And so it's going to be a tough task, but I think the Eagles can get it done.
Well, let's head into fan questions. We start with Mike, who asks, he says, you talked about before last season of asking Justice Briggs to take his game to the next level. What are your expectations for him this season? In other words, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, you know, coming out of 2016, going into 2017, I remember we sat and we met, you know, wanted him to cut his interceptions in half, and, you know, Justice being Justice, excelling at everything, more importantly, the classroom, but he excels on the field as well. You know, he cut his interceptions again in half, you know, so that will be the challenge again, you know, so if he can go from 12, which he had as a sophomore, to 7 as a junior, you know, we can cut that in half. I mean, we're really doing something, and it gives us all the more opportunities to have success on Saturday. So that'll be the challenge for him.
Mike would also like to know, do you have the same kind of expectation for all players, and how do you quantify something like that?
Sure. You know, you definitely want to make sure guys are getting better, you know, and one thing we always talk about around here is, you know, progress. You know, it's really not so much as being perfect. It's about progress. I mean, how do we get better? You know, because it's tough to play a perfect football game, you know, but you can progress every week. So, you know, you have grades on these guys every week, and you can go back and you compile them, and you can look at, so you take a free safety, look at all of his grades, you go over those things with them, and how can we get better? You know, here are some things we can do to work to get better. So it's a little bit easier to identify the quarterback you know, because he has a ball in his hands all the time. And when something good happens, it's great. When something bad happens, everybody can identify it. But, you know, you have to hold guys accountable, and everybody needs to get better. So, absolutely.
Dan would like to know, he says, Coach, you're such a nice guy. I wonder if there are teams that you really want to beat because you just don't like them.
Oh, man, I'm glad he thinks I'm a nice person. I guess that's good. No, you know, every week is the same deal, man. You know, you don't really, you know, obviously you know who you're playing each week and you study them, but, I mean, there's no personal vendettas of don't like this guy or don't like that guy. You know, every week we're just trying to get our ball club ready to go and go out there and do and play the best that we can, coach the best we can, play the best we can, and then look up at the scoreboard, and hopefully it's in our favor at the end of the day. So
Amanda asks, she says, when the season ends, is there a time that you want your players to spend just letting their bodies kind of regenerate, and do you recommend that same kind of thing for high school players?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with as much mentally and physically we're asking of these guys for 14 weeks, you know, August all the way through November, you got to let those guys get some rest at the end. They have to regenerate, recharge, because the off season revs up pretty heavy. You know, like I said, we're lifting four times a week now. So, I mean, you know, it's they need time to recharge. And I would definitely say so with high school too. Absolutely. I mean, and I know high school is different because those guys probably are going, if they're really good, they're going from hopefully football to wrestling or football to basketball, where our guys are going football, rest, right back into weights. You know, we don't have too many dual sports at this level, but in high school, we do. You know, I can even remember coming out of football in high school and going right into indoor track. You know what I mean? That's it. There is no rest, you know. So, you know, if you can rest, you know, I think it's important to do that.
Is it hard to get them to buy into that, or they kind of see the need for that as well?
Is it hard for them to buy into the rest part?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, man. You have some guys, you can't get him out of the weight room. Like, there's a kid that we have on our team. We finished the last game against Bethel, and he's in there lifting on Monday. You know, so it just depends on the kid's makeup and how they're wired. You know, we had to kind of kick him out of there and say, listen, man, you need to relax. You know, just go relax somewhere, you know. So, yeah, absolutely.
Miguel would like to know what you think makes a great cornerback.
Wow, Miguel, that's a good question. That's kind of a little bit of the world that I kind of dabble in. I think, you know, some of the things that make a good corner is him having the ability, depending on what kind of scheme you're running, but he's really got to be really good feet. You know, again, on corners, you know, a lot of the negative things happen to corners because their feet are bad in the beginning of the play before it even starts. So really good feet, being able to pick his feet up and move them independently and get him back on the ground. His eyes, got to have great eye discipline. At corner, if you are looking at the wrong thing, bad things will happen really quick. So, you know, I think it's your feet, your eyes, and then you have to have, you know, you got to be good at anticipating and then ball skills. You know, ball skills are critical. And I would say not in any particular order, you know, you have to have a very, very short memory, you know, because bad things are going to happen at that position. And you got to be able to get lined back up and get ready to play ball, and you can't worry about it. And also, when something great happens, you got to be able to line back up and get ready to play ball. So,
Shelly would like to know, she says, how many of your relatives stayed with you during the Super Bowl week? We know there had to be some.
Oh, Shelly, yep. You know what? None of the relatives came out. Just have a buddy that I used to work with at a different place, who's obviously both Philly guys. He's going to come out and stay with me, but the relatives are going to hang tight. And hopefully, you know, if we can win this, then they'll be celebrating on Monday for the victory parade. So,
that would be sweet. Derek says, Coach, what do you think of the new XFL that they want to bring back? Do you see that posing any kind of real challenge to the NFL?
I don't know, man. The NFL is a machine. You know, they've got that thing working really, really well. You know, it'll be tough. I don't know if I'm educated enough to speak on it, you know, because I don't know how the ownership's going to work, how the coaches are going to work, where they're going to get the players from. Are they going to get – I'm assuming they're going to get players from – you know, the guys that didn't make the NFL team. So is that the kind of brand that they want? You know, is it going to be a watered down NFL? I don't know. So that'll be tough. It'll be interesting to see how it runs. You know, it definitely is always good to see, you know, more football and more opportunities for guys to coach and guys to play. So I think that's cool. But as far as what kind of product it's going to be, it'll be tough to make that assessment.
Sam asks, he says, as a good evaluator of players, do you think that the Redskins have been making the right call by not giving Kirk Cousins a big deal? Does he just not have what it takes to be consistently winning quarterback?
Wow, that's That's a tough question because you're not in the, I'm not in the building every day to see all the ins and outs and how he works. You know, I just know that in that league, well, I shouldn't say in that league, in any league, you know, MIAC or in NFL, you have to have a quarterback, you know. So I don't study the Redskins a lot. I don't, you know, I know we see them twice a year with the Eagles, but I always thought, you know, Cousins was a solid, even when he was at Michigan State, I thought he was a solid quarterback. And he's been, it seems like he's been getting it done. So maybe, you know, the Redskins must know something that, you know, we don't know, you know. So they see those guys every day, they evaluate them. They know the market, so, you know, it's a little bit, you know, for us on the outside, it's a little bit tough for us to make those, you know, those blanketed statements, so I don't know.
Our favorite guy, Andre, returns. He says, Coach, what do you think of the Eagles do with Nick Foles now? If he wins, can they really let him get away?
You know, that's a hot topic in Philly. You know, but, you know, I thought I heard Foles say that he understands that, you know, Carson Wentz is the guy, and you know, he's okay with the backup role. You know, I'm sure if he wins it, people are going to, you know, come after him and try to, you know, get a Super Bowl winning quarterback to play for them. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I hope he stays. You know, you want to have two quarterbacks because for this reason, you know, so a guy goes down, you got to have the next guy that can go in there and play. So I would like to think that they would want to keep him around. So hopefully he doesn't leave.
Andre would also like to say, he says, I am very disturbed how our fellow Philadelphians treated Minnesota fans. On behalf of us all, deeply sorry.
Yeah, you know what? I was able to see some of the things. And, you know, with the internet these days, you can pretty much pull up anything. And, you know, all fans aren't like that. You know, you can't just put, you know, everybody in a box. You know, I felt like, you know, with the Super Bowl being here and Philadelphia obviously being represented, you know, you know, when I'm out and about, I'm going to be a great Eagles fan and be very cordial and nice, you know, so we can flip it, because I'm sure there's bad fans everywhere, man, not just Philadelphia fans. So, you know, just some isolated situations.
Andre would also like to know what you think the 76ers need to improve the team.
Wow. It just seems like, you know, as far as just taking care of the ball, I think anytime – it always comes back to that. No matter what sport you're playing, it always comes back to the ball, you know. So it seems like it's been a lot of turnovers. And, you know, they're young, so they've got to continue to keep going, fighting through the growing pains, and we just need to keep people together, you know, keep the team together and not dismantle it and not hit the panic button is what I see, you know. So hopefully we can keep guys together for a while so they can get to understand, you know, the full philosophy of what Coach is trying to get done. So
Mario asks, he says, Coach, I know you follow basketball, so how did the Cavaliers get to be so bad on defense all of a sudden?
You know, I have not been following them as much. I've been hearing about it in the news. I haven't been following them too much. So, you know, I'm not at will to speak too much on that, you know. If I'm a betting man, if I had to bet on it, you know, I'm pretty sure LeBron James is going to get those – LeBron James and those coaches are going to get it right to where in the playoffs there'll be something – there'll be a force to reckon with. When you have the best player in the whole world, they'll have a way to figure it out. So I'm sure the defense will get better.
Brad would like to know if you thought it was kind of dirty that the Clippers signed Blake Griffin to a 10-year deal and then deal him almost right away.
No, man. When you start talking about NBA, MLB, you know, NFL, man, that's a business. So, and then nothing surprises me.
Nope. Next is Angela. She says, although you were a football coach, was that always your favorite sport growing up?
I would say... at first, yes, really loved football. First time I started playing was 6 years old. Loved the game, loved the sport. But you know what? As I got older, man, baseball was really fun. I enjoyed baseball because you played so many games. You know, you could play baseball from, growing up on the East Coast, you're playing from like April all the way, especially if you play summer ball, April all the way right up until football started in August. So you got a lot of games. And so I really started to fall in love with baseball a lot growing up, man. You know, but then obviously, you know, football has opened up some avenues and opportunities for me. So, I mean, obviously that's my first love. So.
Florence would like to know, she says, Coach Taylor, as a parent, I'm getting concerned about how all the strides that previous generations made to make this country more unified are being thrown aside. Separate graduations for different races is one example, but there are many others. Is this an issue that you were addressing with the team or that Hamlin talks about, because I don't want to see segregation return in any form?
Sure. It's funny, we had our first team meeting yesterday, and, you know, we were just talking about, you know, college and the experiences that you have in college and, you know, what part of college is about. Yes, the number one reason is to come, you get your education, but a lot of it is about experiencing different things. The thing that I was expressing to our guys at Hamlin, you know, Hamlin's a place where, You know, we have a bunch of different cultures and ethnicities and, you know, people, you know, from a lot of different places, you know. So I was telling our guys that, you know, you got to look at that as a positive. You know, when you go to a place where everybody looks the same, or everybody drives the same car, or everybody wears the same kind of clothes, you know, that just, to me, that puts you in a box, you know. And I think the kids that, you know, experience that at the college level, you know, maybe they're going to struggle. I think they're going to struggle a little bit more when they get into the real world and they're dealing with different people. So our guys at Hamline, man, they are being well-rounded on campus in classes with people that don't look like them, which I think is awesome. You know, professors that don't look like them, or professors that are from different countries. I mean, I think that those are important pieces to the college experience, man. So, I, you know, we do talk about those things, and it's funny that the question came up because we had a team meeting yesterday, and that was one of the topics as far as, you know, how do you treat people? You know, just because somebody looks different, you know, you don't treat them differently. You know, we talk about, I'm a big believer in the universe, man. You know, you treat somebody bad now, you know, you're going to go, when you grow up and have kids, you know, that might happen to your kid, you know. So what energy you put out there is what you'll get back, you know. So treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, we talk about that a lot in our program. So.
Very well said. Danielle would like to know if you made any New Year's resolutions.
You know what, Danielle, I didn't. You know, I just, you know, just, cause I always find myself, you make a resolution and you don't stick with it. So I said, you know, I'm not doing that. You know, just trying to become better. You know, just how can I be a better person each day, and how can I get this program to be a better program each day is, you know, I'm not even going to say it's a resolution, is what we're working on. It's what I'm working on. So
Dylan asked, says, Coach, do you have a relative in your family who you see at the holidays, but you dread seeing because he lies so much or is so obnoxious you can't take him for long? What do you do with someone like that?
I would say no. When I get a chance to, you know, again, being up here in Minnesota, when I get a chance to get back and see my family, you know, it's good. It's fun to see everybody. You know, you're always going to have those family members that, you know, that can tell stories that exaggerate. I mean, you just put a smile on your face, you know, you're happy to see them, tell them you love them, and then, you know you're going to go back to your own world. But no, I wouldn't say that, you know, I dread seeing one of my family members. Absolutely not. I love seeing, you know, my family, and, you know, like I said, we do have a couple guys or, you know, a couple cousins in the family where it's like, oh man, this guy's got stories for days, you know, but it's just, and it's the same stories, and you laugh at them, and, you know, you keep it moving, and you eat some pie, and then you go home. So there you go.
And why is it great to be a Fighting Piper?
Oh man, you know what? We hit our team, half of our team this morning, got some community service in. The other half will get in some community service tonight. You know, our team GPA came out. We're over 3.0 again for the fall semester. Guys, you know, they're working out hard, you know, so there's a lot of reasons to be, you know, a lot of reasons that, you know, it's great to be a Fighting Piper. So,
awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Coach.
All right. See you next time.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this month. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamline coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by the first Wednesday of every month so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.